soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on July 12, 2016. In recent reading and pondering the scriptures, different writings in the book of Hebrews, 1 John, and other things in the prophets written about the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and on my heart today is to share a series of things and consider what was written in the letter to the Hebrews. Great, great exhortation, full of exhortation, full of the error and the transgression of the people of God, house of Israel, house of Judah, written to the Hebrews. But we recognize it's the Spirit of the Lord that has penned and voiced and outbreathed those words that we need to consider, take heed. In fact, this word consider is used in Hebrews chapter 3. And we need to do this. We need to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief apostle, and the bishop of our soul. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And obviously this writing to the Hebrews, they would understand who Moses was. Moses was ordained by God to bring deliverance. The very word of the Lord at an appointed set time of God. God rose up Moses, brought him out of the backside of the desert to send him to fulfill his will. God's people had been slaves, captive, under tyranny and bondage to a Pharaoh, a king of Egypt. And they were oppressed and harassed. And it was a land of many gods, false gods, who are not gods, but are demons indeed. And many customs and rites and the oppression of being in a foreign land where these false gods and this grievance was continual, and the pressure of oppression was upon God's people. And God heard their cry, and God sent Moses, and God gave Moses explicit instructions what to say, what to do. And at the end of the administration of Moses, he failed to sanctify the Lord or to hallow the Lord and explicitly follow what the Father had told him to do. And God would not allow Moses to enter into the land of promise. He'd only see it with his eye from a distance. So, ladies and gentlemen, holy brethren, are you a hagios, a saint, washed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus, and faithful, continual, abiding in Jesus? Then you ought to consider what the chief apostle, the chief shepherd, the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, what he's saying, what he's speaking to his ecclesia, his called out people. Take heed, let any man that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the assemblies. Several major exhortations I want to bring forth and think about. First John, a beloved apostle of the Lord, a disciple of the Lord who was very intimate with Jesus Christ and has said to put his head on the chest of Jesus, very close with the Lord. And in 1 John, what does the Lord say? What does John say out of all the things he would say? This testimony have we received of him, that God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. And John extremely elevates the importance of truth. And he was rejoicing that this fellowship of believers, this ecclesia, that he ministered to was abiding in the truth. There was no greater joy to John than they would abide in the truth, because there's so many lies, so much deception out there. And John encountered religious leaders that would resist even John because they loved preeminence over the people. 1 John 1:5, and this is the message which we've heard of him, referring to Jesus. And we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship, partnership, koinonia with him, then we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Out of this chapter, he makes it very clear we're not to practice sin, we're not to walk in sin, we're not to sin, because the seed of Christ remains in us. And we're to be a very distinct, holy people that God was always trying to accomplish in the Old Testament, in the house of Israel, in the house of Judah. And when God sent those people were in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then the appointed time of deliverance, and the Father outlined the Passover, the innocent lamb without spot or blemish, any such defilement. And it was figurative of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And God gave him instructions to take the blood of that lamb and apply it to the lintel and the doorposts. And the Lord said, when the death angel passes, he'll see the blood and he'll pass by, and God's judgment would pass. All figurative of the obedience and faith in the blood of Jesus, that God passes over judgment, that we are taken from death and judgment into blessing and eternal life. And they experienced the power of God and the deliverance of God out of Egypt. And they passed through the Red Sea, and God provided daily food for them. And God gave them water from a rock, which was spiritually speaking of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Great deliverance. The glory of the Lord was seen in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But these people, it's written in 1 Corinthians 10, in Hebrews 2, 3, and 4, you're going to find that the Lord has outlined that these things were written so that we that have faith in Jesus, or profess faith in Jesus, would learn how they failed and they actually died in the wilderness, not inheriting the land, not inheriting the promise. So ask yourself, my second question for you today, consider why this was written to the Hebrews, this great exhortation. When you read Hebrews chapter 2, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And God goes outlines, you should read this, familiarize yourself. It's a great salvation. If you neglect it, how will you be saved? Chapter 3. The Lord has replaced Moses with Jesus, as Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy 18, as the apostles expounded, is recorded in the book of Acts on numerous events as they spoke to the Jews, trying to show that they had crucified the one that the scriptures had prophesied and promised. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They were given an opportunity to repent. How many people made it that were delivered out of Egypt? This is the third exhortation I want you to ponder today. How many people? In 1 Corinthians 10, we're told of 23,000 being killed in one day because they were fornicating. How they murmured in their tents against the Lord. How they don't realize that God not only hears the words you speak, but the thoughts of your heart. Murmuring, oh, it was better that we were in Egypt. It was better what way we used to be. They don't like this challenge, this trial of faith. Instead of having manna, a miracle from God on day to day, they wanted to have quail. They were idolaters. They worshipped other gods who cannot save or hear or see. All these things are written for our learning and in our admonition. That's why God did that parable, that living parable with those people, Joshua and Caleb. Entered the land. That thousands and thousands died. In Numbers 32, 11 through 12, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they could not wholly, completely followed me, except Caleb. And the Lord mentioned Joshua. They completely followed the Lord. These things are written to take earnest heed. Don't let anything slip. Don't neglect your salvation. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left as us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. God speaks, he gives a promise, but there's a lot more information to the promise. You've got to walk with God. You've got to do the will of God. You've got to be led by the Spirit. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for you to be crucified to the world and the world unto you, crucifying the flesh and its nature and its passions, and to live by Jesus Christ, who is our life. You have to fear. And he's speaking to the Hebrews because they were well acquainted with their history. They never kept the law. Their fathers never kept the law, nor indeed could they. But this man shall live by faith. We shall be justified by our faith. And God's calling us to hear and to hear his voice. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word proclaimed did not benefit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in those that heard it. There's so much preaching today. There's so much declaring the word of God, but there's so little faith. And this is what Jesus said. When I, the Son of Man, return, will I find faith? What did Jesus say about this analogy, this whole thing about all those people that were delivered by the power of God, by the word of God, by the will of God, and all the things they saw God do, and yet how many entered into the land of promise? This is why this exhortation is going forth, because this is for us today. Are you going to see the promise of the Lord? Are you really going to see eternal life? What the Lord chided them for in chapter 3, called it an evil heart of unbelief. Why? Today, while it is today, hear his voice, hear my voice, and don't provoke me to wrath. They were disobedient. They had an evil heart of unbelief. And what did it exemplify? Because they would not hear. They would not do what God said. And this makes them very evil and wicked before God. And God says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They shall not enter my promise. They'll die. Don't harden your heart as in the provocation. It's called the provocation. It's the provoking of God. It's purposely inciting him to wrath. And this is a parable. A living parable, an analogy of the history of Israel and Judah. And the fourth thing I would encourage you to do is pull up all the texts of the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and read the story. Read Ezekiel 43, what God told Ezekiel about the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and its defilement and its corruption and its abomination. If they're ashamed, then bring the instruction. And this is what Jesus Christ is doing and has done with his apostles. he goes back to the religious system and gives him another opportunity to be instructed. Be wise, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, you rulers. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. These are the words from the prophetic words of Psalm chapter 2, a most dire text that brings it all to the crux of the issue. The Lord, he is God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord over all. He's master. He's head of the assembly of the Lord, the house of God. And we ought to consider what he is speaking. The Lord is working, men are working, and the devil are working, but the work is not the same. And this is a time to seek the Lord like never before. This is like a time not as usual, cannot be religious as usual. These are great times as this age winds down. And remember that no flesh shall inherit the kingdom of God, it's written. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no good thing in flesh, ladies and gentlemen. And we've read the history of the house of Israel, the house of Judah, religious people that could quote Moses, quote the scriptures, but from their hearts they would not love God. And when God would send his son or his prophets, they would resist him to the point of their death. God would speak at the mouth of the prophets, but as it is written in Hebrews, it now speaks in his Son. And he speaks today, and his sheep hear and know his voice, and they follow him. The hand of the Lord has a plummet, a plumb line. And there's so much today that does not measure up. In Ezekiel 43, the Lord had spoke to Ezekiel and showed him the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and it was defiled, it was corrupt, it was base. Abomination, the Lord says. And in Isaiah 1, we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah unless the Lord had left a remnant. From the head to the foot, there was no soundness. And the children did not know the Lord. And the people did not know the Lord. But a donkey and an ox knows its master. They know who feeds them. But the Lord said, my people do not know me. Everything's going to be tried by fire. And this is a time to examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Are you in faith? Do you have faith? Do you believe God? Do you hear his voice? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And yet people go day by day by day, month after month, and year after year, and decades after decades, without heeding the voice of the Lord. And you'll never make it. You'll never make it. Psalms 2 looks at the cabal between the rebellious kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth have committed fornication with the harlot, the great whore, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And the rulers, the spiritual leadership that is making business off the things of God, loving and esteeming what men think, and have forgotten the Lord and do not know him. They've taken counsel together and created an agreement against God and against Jesus, his anointed one. And they refuse to submit to his lordship. This is in verse 3 of Psalms 2. But God says that he will laugh and have them in derision, and he will utterly confound them, and he will speak in his wrath and vex them when he's greatly displeasured. The Lord has set Jesus Christ as king, and this is the time. He is the master of the house. He is the Lord of the house. And the Lord said, if the people can be taught, if they can receive instruction, then show them the ways and the goings forth and the goings out of the house of the Lord. Paul had to bring the people into remembrance that their very physical body, if they were in Jesus Christ and believed the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and had repented of their sins and repented of their dead works and actually heard the voice of the Lord on a day-to-day basis, they will enter God's rest and they will cease from their own works, letting God ordain the works that they should walk in. That's the rest of God. But he said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. An unbeliever is one with no faith. Apistos in the Greek. What koinonia, partnership, yoking, fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, Paul asks. And what communion with light with darkness? What concord does Christ have with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an unbeliever, an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't dwell in buildings made by men. And this word temple is the word nahos, which is dwelling, where God dwells. He doesn't dwell in temples made by men's hands. Isaiah 66. He looks for the man that's broken and contrite and that trembles at his word. And that is Jesus Christ. And you must be born again, born from above, in Jesus Christ. That is the one that God dwells. Your very body has a treasure in earthen vessel, the very glory of God Almighty. This isn't religion. And churchianity has done a great disservice to the people, deceiving them, forcing them to slave and give their monies, just like ancient Israel and Judah did when they saw their works of their hands, the temple, completely controlled, demolished by God Almighty using the Roman armies. Not one stone upon another that was not thrown down. And the law and the ordinances and all of it was removed with God changing the priesthood from the Levi priesthood to the Melchizedek, the power of an endless life that is in Jesus Christ. Fear the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. The time is at hand. Repent. Believe the gospel. Many are called, few are chosen. And Jesus was asked by his disciples in Luke 13, verse 23 and following, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? What have we just read in Hebrews and in Jude 5 and 1 Corinthians 10? Out of all those people, the Hebrews that left Egypt, how many were saved? Two. Joshua and Caleb. Because of their unbelief, because of their murmuring, because of their fornication, because of their lusting for evil things, because of their idolatry. And these things were written for believers in Jesus Christ because of the gospel. All of that that God endured with those people, those stiff-necked, stubborn, uncircumcised in heart and ear, that refused to hear the word of the Lord, are just like the churchgoers today. Did they learn? Did they heed these things? There's only going to be few saved. Wouldn't you want to have eternal life that's offered gloriously through faith in Jesus? So Jesus says, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We're not talking about the world. We're not talking about those that run to the devil, that run to sin, that run to iniquity. We're talking about religious people that want to have eternal life, that think towards the Lord, but they haven't given themselves completely, and they're letting the word that's proclaimed to them slip, and the promises of God slip. When once the master of the house has risen up, ladies and gentlemen, and that time will come, and he is shut to the door, And you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Shock! Then shall you say, Oh, we've eaten and drunk in your presence. You taught in our streets. And in Matthew 7, it says, We did good works, cast out devils, prophesied in your name, many great things, Lord. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You can't be walking in darkness and lawlessness and say you know God who has no part dark. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. God is speaking. He's perfecting that which concerns us. The abominations of the religious world that is contrary, just like Ezekiel 43, just like Ezekiel 44, just like the countless pages that God told the story of the abominations. God has not called us to walk in uncleanness. He's destined that we would be holy and before him in love. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. The very next verse, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And in hearing these things, this great exhortation to the Hebrews, the wisdom of God, of the Spirit of God, to bring this exhortation to consider the house of Israel, the house of Judah, to the Hebrews, how God displayed his love, his power, his wisdom, his might, brought such a great salvation and provision, all the things that God did from the exiting of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and God's glory, his power, his might, his provision, all the things that he did. But they wouldn't take heed to his nature of holiness and to worship him and to serve him in the wilderness, because God had given a promise and they did not enter into that promise, and they would not heed his voice from a day-to-day basis. Many are called, few are chosen. And there's those that are hearing this word, and you're called to be a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a proclaimer of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And consider this exhortation today from the Spirit of God, how you must call people to this reality, not causing them to be comforted in their sin, like was Israel and Judah did, and grieve the heart of the righteous, promising life to the wicked, just as long as they were part of the religious system, supporting it, keeping it going. Without glory, without honor of God, without his presence. No, we must be before the Lord with his presence and urge the people daily, while it is today, to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and to follow the good shepherd who laid down our life and has given us great promises. And we shall receive those promises if we daily walk with him in faithfulness continually unto the end. Blessed is the man that does this. Production of RealtyReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtyReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.